In August, we have Southern Decadence in New Orleans by Howard Philip Smith and you.
Yes. 4 or 5 years ago, Howard and I were having cocktails at Café Lafitte in Exile. He was in town researching his carnival book, and we just got to talking about the idea of writing a history of Southern Decadence, which is an amazing phenomenon that no other city can claim. In fact, Southern Decadence, along with the Upstairs Lounge Arson and Gay Carnival, are three of the things that make our history distinctive and unique.
Right. You know,
in many ways, our local LGBTQ history is not unlike that of other cities. The closet, harassment, discrimination, and so forth. But there are a few things that make us unique, and Southern Decadence is one of those things. It is the third or fourth largest festival in the city's annual calendar. This year they're expecting over 300,000 people Labor Day weekend, and we thought it was important to document that history for a number of reasons, not the least of which is, more than anything else, Southern Decadence did a lot to change public attitudes in the city towards homosexuality. And by that, what I mean specifically is summers are traditionally very slow in New Orleans. Those of us in the service industry kind of starve during the summer. It's feast or famine. Mm-hmm. And when Decadence became very, very popular, especially in the late 90s, all of a sudden, everybody's making money. Hotels are filled up. Cab drivers are busy. Bartenders are making money. And so what Southern Decadence did historically was it demonstrated to the power structure that runs the city that gay men have money to spend.
And we'll spend it here.
Yes. And that's an untapped market that the city never realized, and Decadence helped to demonstrate that gay men can be a lucrative market.
And this will be a special year for you because you're the Grand Marshal.
I am one of two Grand Marshals. Atticus Sulpizi and I were named about a month ago. When Howard and I started the book 4 years ago, I had no idea that I would be Grand Marshal at the time that it was published. So it's a very happy coincidence.
Well, very well deserved. Now, another thing about LGBTQ books in New Orleans is fiction. And one book, I think, kind of put New Orleans on the map many, many years ago as a gay city, and that is City of Night by John Retchie.
Yes. For those who may not be familiar, John was a sex worker here in New Orleans, as well as in other cities. And this book, City of Night, is sort of a memoir, really, of his experiences in that field. The inspiration for the book was a series of letters about his time in New Orleans to a friend of his, and that evolved into City of Night, which is a landmark work.
And three writers I think we really have to, you know, celebrate in fiction are Poppy Zeebright.
Yes.
Those novels were really important. Greg Heron.
Absolutely.
He writes so joyfully about New Orleans.
Yes.
It's a pleasure to read his books. And Gene Redmond, whose Mickey Knight series is growing every year.
Yes. New Orleans is such an inspirational place, whether you're gay or not. I don't know how you can live here and not be creative, whether it's writing or cooking or music or art or what have you. And those are three great ones. And we have a lot of great writers here.
We do. We're lucky that way.
Yeah.
Oh, we've been talking with Frank Perez, president of the LGBT Archives of Louisiana and presenter of Great Gay History Tours of the French Quarter, for this portion of the Tricentennial Reading List. It's produced by George Ingmeyer with support from the Hellis Foundation, the John Burton Harter Trust, and the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities. And check out the Reading Life Tricentennial Reading List at WWNO.org for a special segment about books about the dark side of LGBTQ history.